O God, eternal creator, who on the first day of creation called forth light out of darkness, who on the first day of the age to come brought life from the tomb, grant to us your Holy Spirit that the pure light of Easter morning might shine within our lives and make us children of light. For we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord, who is himself the light of the world. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from John, the 20th chapter, the first 18 verses. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went in to the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside, and he saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Paul writes in Romans 10, "If you profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." In professing and believing, Jesus becomes our Savior. The Bible says also in multiple places, "Those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The resurrection of Jesus is a big deal. Not so much a big deal because I say it's a big deal, but it's a big deal. It changed history. You see, every single week, on the first day of the week, Christians worship and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we worship on Sunday, to celebrate the resurrection. Even during the Lenten season, when we are celebrating, when we're turning inwardly, and we're trying to look at the sins of our own life, when it comes to Sunday, we still celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It's a big deal. This past week, I was looking on Facebook, and I saw something that ages me terribly. I saw the name Chuck Colson. Do y'all remember Chuck Colson? For those of us who were born sometime before 1970, we know that Chuck Colson was a part of the Nixon White House, that was a part of breaking into the National Democratic Committee office at the Watergate Hotel. If you go to the Kennedy Center, take a little hike down the hill. That's where the Watergate is. They broke in. They got caught. Nixon resigned. Somewhere in those days, Chuck Colson accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior on July the 4th. Talk about having the Independence Day. He goes to jail, federal prison. He gets out. He forms Prison Fellowship. He writes great books, one that I read multiple times called The Body, about the body of Christ, the church being the church. He wrote these words, and these are the words I saw on Facebook today, this past week. Words from Chuck Colson. I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it for me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead and then proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, put in prison. They would not have endured it if it had not been true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? That's how he knows. I know because I read the Gospels. The Gospels paint a picture of the apostles as if they are the Keystone Cops for people who are older than me. They are bumbling act of people who get it right sometimes, don't get it right the other times. They look like you and me. They don't look like spiritual heroes of the faith, do they? About the time you think they got it right, they blow it out of the water. And then the resurrection occurs. We would have never named a church or a hospital or a university or orphanages or anything else after the apostles of the Gospels. But we certainly would about the apostles of the book of Acts. Because that's when, after the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit, that's when they became saints. They wouldn't have changed that much over a lie. But the question for me this morning is, why Mary Magdalene? When you start looking at the improbability of the gospel story, it would have been a PR nightmare, wouldn't it? If we were going to try to pick the parents of the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, would we have picked a maiden, a virgin from Galilee? We should have picked one from Jerusalem, where the seat of power, people who are well-connected, the people of the powerful, that should be the mother of Jesus. But no, Mary, and a carpenter, a craftsman. About the only good thing about Joseph we could say is that he came from Bethlehem, so when there was the census, they got kind of close back to Jerusalem. But he didn't do a whole lot of planning. If I had done to my wife what Joseph did to his wife and tried to show up in Bethlehem without a reservation, excuse me? Thanks to the grace of this innkeeper who just happened to have a cave out back with cows and animals in it, if it hadn't been for that, we don't know where Jesus would have been born. And then, those angels, those heavenly hosts, they should have gone to the temple and proclaimed what they proclaimed about the child being born in Bethlehem, but they didn't put the right address into ways and showed up in a field with a bunch of shepherds who you can't trust. With the good news, entrusting the good news of Jesus Christ to people who cannot be trusted. And they said, "Fear not, for behold, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And then they got foreigners to worship first. Foreigners, people who shouldn't have known better, but they brought gifts and they worshiped. And then when Jesus gets to the age when he's going to start his ministry, he doesn't start in Jerusalem. He starts in the desert, in the middle of nowhere, where this guy that never shaves, never cleans up, wearing strange clothes, eating locusts, bellowing like a camel, fire and brimstone, repent, 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 not a very friendly person. He's the one who proclaims that the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus starts his ministry. You know, if he'd known what he was doing, he would have got in good and he would have been a bridge builder. He would have been a consensus builder. He would have built bridges between the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes and the Zealots. And then he would have nestled up to the people who were in power of the Sanhedrin at the temple. And then he would have got in good with the Romans. And then he would have built consensus. And then he really could have been the kind of a Savior we needed. Right? That's what the PR tells us. But no, he made everybody mad. Except the lowly, the lost, the sick. And they killed him. And then on the first day of the week, of all people, to go to the tomb, Mary Magdalene, a woman who had seven demons cast out. Seven, that perfect number, you know, the perfect number, completeness. She was not troubled a little bit. She was troubled a lot. Scholars believe that people talk about demons, that it had more likely would be mental illness. Could you think about having seven different diagnoses of mental illness going on at one time? I've struggled with depression in my life, as many people have, and somewhere in the midst of darkness everywhere, depression will send you into a deep, dark place. And a woman who's entrusted with the resurrection of Jesus is the first one there, and she has probably been seeing things in her life. Could have picked Peter. Y'all know Peter's, don't you? You know that. Peter was the one who was going to be the leader of the church. He was the one who was about doing. He got out of the boat. Everybody else was content sitting in the boat, staying in the boat, trying to stay dry. But Peter said, "I'll walk out on water," and he walked out for a little bit. Peter, he was the one when Jesus said, "Who do they say that I am?" He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And they said, "You're right." He was also the one that was probably arguing on the night in which Jesus was betrayed. They were having that meal, and he probably was one of those who was arguing about who was going to be the greatest. And he said, "Y'all know I am." And then Jesus made the comment, said, y'all got it all wrong. All of you will fall away. And Peter, in his pride, said, "Yeah, they might. I agree with you. They might. But not me, Jesus. All of them will fall away, but not me." And before the dawn, before the rooster crowed in the courtyard of Caiaphas' house, he had denied Jesus three times. You can't trust you, Peter. Peter should not be, you can't trust people who say one thing and do something else. Do y'all know any of those people? Maybe we should have picked John, the beloved disciple. He's the one that Jesus from the cross said, "Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." He was entrusting his mother to John. Surely he would be trustworthy to be the one to be the first witness of the resurrection. Yeah. We like to think that he wrote 5 books of the New Testament. The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. He's the one. And then we realize he's the brother of James. They are the sons of thunder because they are known for their temper. No, we can't let somebody who's a hothead know that Jesus was raised from the dead first. He's also an exclusionist. He was prejudiced. There was once a man who was casting out demons in Jesus' name. He was relieving pain from somebody who was hurting, who was living in darkness. And John said, "I stopped him, Jesus, because he wasn't one of us." I thought Jesus is the one who said, we need to love everybody. John's not the one. He doesn't need to know. He might not tell everybody that Jesus was risen. Well, who do we tell? Who could tell? Who can watch? Maybe it was Andrew, because Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus. Well, Andrew, he settles into the shadows. Never hear much from him anymore. How about Nathanael? You know, Philip went and told Nathanael about Jesus, and Nathanael said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" He was bigoted. He thought he was better than everybody else, but we couldn't trust him either. I know. Thomas. If Thomas had been the first one there, we would never call Thomas Doubting Thomas, would we? He would always just be Professing Thomas. But Thomas was a pyromaniac. Somebody wasn't behaving, and he wanted Jesus to cast fire down on people to kill them. You can't trust Thomas. Have you ever known anybody to be vindictive? Judas. That would have been a good one. Can you imagine Judas finding his way to the tomb on that first day of the week after he had sold Jesus up the river? How fast do you think Judas would have hit the ground in worship of Jesus? Well, we don't know. He killed himself before then. How about Pilate? Caiaphas, the high priest. I tell you the one that would have been great to have seen Jesus first, Barabbas. Remember Barabbas? At the trial before Pilate, they had that custom, and they said, "We have a custom that we can release somebody that needs to be crucified. Who would you rather release, Barabbas or Jesus?" And they said, "Release Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas." And so they released Barabbas, a murderer, a terrorist. And he leaves. Would it have been something if Barabbas circled back around and got to see everything that Jesus endured was really for him? Watched him be beaten with rods, stripped, spat upon, hit, a crown of thorns stuck in his head. All of those things. And to carry that cross up to Calvary, the Golgotha, to stumble and see Simon of Cyrene pick up, be forced to carry the cross, to see Jesus be nailed to the cross, knowing that that cross was for him, to see the pain that he endured that was really for him. Wonder how he would have responded on that Easter, that first day of the week, to the risen Christ. Do you think his attitude would be changed? Have y'all ever known a Barabbas? But it wasn't any of those. It was Mary Magdalene, the lady who knew darkness in her life but had seen light, who went when it was dark. It's always darkest before the dawn. But she went anyway. You see, she had followed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus on that Friday afternoon, just before dusk, right before the start of the Sabbath. She knew where he had been buried. And she went while it was still dark. She was the first one there. How much courage do you think it took for Mary to run to Peter and the other disciple and say, he's missing? If that wasn't enough, to go back and follow him, them, see them go into the tomb and then leave and go home. To look in the tomb and see the angels. How hard do you think it was for her to then run back and say, I've seen the Lord? The reason Mary was the one who saw Jesus was because she was the first to get there and the last to leave. You see, Jesus comes to those people, and he comes to us too. You see, in every person I've told you about, we are them. We've been Peter. We've been John. We've been Andrew. We've been Nathaniel. We've been Thomas. We've been Barabbas. Because, see, Jesus died for all of us. Every single one of us. And the question for us is, what do we do with the good news about the resurrection? That the one who died for us, even though we didn't deserve it, even though we were sinners, he died so that we might have life and have it to the full. Praise God for Mary Magdalene, for being brave enough to understand the power of the resurrection, to understand the power of the light of Christ living within us and how it can change us from darkness to light. That's good news. Praise God that he is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that in spite of our frailties, in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of all of the sins of the world, you were willing to die for us on a cross, to take away our sin. You have saved us. You have given us eternal life. We thank you that you loved us so much. Oh God, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let it be so in our lives, and may we tell the good news of Jesus. Amen.